Blog Talk Radio.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Right now on the Hill in Washington, D.C., there is an explosive confirmation hearing going on. Let's just listen just a little bit for 1 second. I want to bring this to our attention. This is what's going on right now live in D.C.
We're going to be in session Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, till we get done this week. So however long people want to take, we're going to not necessarily accommodate all obstruction, but if people got something to say, this chairman's going to let them say it. But it gets pretty boring to hear the same thing all the time. Senator Booker, make it quick, please.
I really appreciate the deference, Mr. Chairman. The question was, why would we want to delay this? And this is not an attempt to delay. This is an attempt to be fully equipped to do our constitutional duty, which everybody, Republicans and Democrats on this committee, take seriously. It is very hard to perform our role of advice and consent when we do not have a thorough vetting of the background of the candidates.
All right. So I just wanted to play a tiny little clip. This is going to be on all day on Fox News, CNN, and all the news channels. This is the confirmation hearing of Brett Kavanaugh to replace Supreme Court justice that has just retired. And we know that this began this morning in this hearing with an outbreak of violent tones. There's no other way to say it. You listen to it, and what's happening is the left is resisting, and we knew this would happen, right? But look at the timing. Today is September 4th, 2018. And now we have this critical moment of replacing. Talk about decapitation, right? Yesterday we talked about a decapitation of the American government. Well, is it possible, and I want to talk about this, is it possible that the decapitation of the federal government is a decapitation of a head of power that has been in the Supreme Court of the United States, and that a replacement is going into place? Well, symbolically, obviously, there's potential for that. And this Brett Kavanaugh Supreme Court confirmation hearing is one of those stir-up moments. This is where the heat gets turned up and the rhetoric and the anger, and we're hearing a lot of talk about that. Ultimately, I stand resolute in my belief that God has revealed that Washington, D.C., at some point in time in our lifetime, we are going to see a decapitation event, a very real decapitation event of the U.S. government. But we're watching right now the government in action, and the left is basically saying we don't want any confirmations of Brett Kavanaugh. And of course, everybody knew this was going to happen long ago. And so the confirmation hearing began with boos and resistance and shouting and yelling right there amongst all those very mature people in Washington, D.C. And so I believe America is divided. We're going to see those divisions exploited by the powers of darkness. But I also want to put some biblical truth behind this in Revelation chapter 12. I don't ever want to get away from this. Remember what happened last September. Do you remember last September, the 23rd, September 23rd, 2017. We should all recall that last year, September 23rd, 2017, there was a sign in the heavens. There was a celestial lineup, and we know it as the Revelation chapter 12 lineup. And it was an exact alignment. There's no doubt to that. People could scurvy all they want and try to hit and miss. The fact of the matter is there was an alignment that was exact pattern to Revelation chapter 12 last September 23rd. And that lineup is everything in Revelation 12. And what was that? Remember why God put the sun, the moon, the stars? For omens, for signs, for red flag events, to foretell, to forewarn the people on planet Earth that would look up into the heavens and see the calendar of God. So God sent a signal, the genuine Hebrew meaning of Genesis 1:14. God sent a signal to planet Earth of what would be coming, what would be coming. Now, what would be coming? There's a number of things in Revelation chapter 12. There's a birthing of a man child who is going to rule the nations of the earth, who is going to be caught up to God and unto his throne. We know that, but we also know that there is a war in the heavenlies that would break out. That's the Revelation chapter 12. And I want to read about that war for just a moment. Verse 7 of Revelation 12. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. And so we have a big battle going on in the spiritual realm. Michael, the archangel of Yahweh, Almighty God, Michael and his armies, his angels, are fighting. The dragon, Satan, and his angels, the demon spirits, are fighting. This war is in the heavens. And you're going to see it played out on planet Earth. There's a spiritual battle raging, and that battle will come to the Earth. And we're going to see it come to the Earth in more than just one way, not just physical manifestations of that battle, but that battle, listen to this, here's what happens in Revelation 12. That the devil and his angels prevailed not. In other words, the battle in the heavens between the angels of God and the angels of Satan is a failure to the satanic powers. The angels of God, thank you, Lord Jesus. Some people said it happened 2,000 years ago. I don't believe that's what Revelation 12 is talking about at all. I know that there was a victory 2,000 years ago in the cross, in the triumphant cross of Jesus Christ and the shedding of his blood for a new covenant. I know that that was a very powerful thing, and that power was given to the ecclesia to tread upon all the work of the devil. I do know that Jesus saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He saw it. Did he see it at that very moment, or did he see it at the cross, or did he see it in the days we're living in? Well, the fact of the matter, the sign showed up last year. And for the first time in thousands of years. So I'm believing consistently with Bible prophecy that the Revelation 12 sign we saw last year is something that we're going to see literally manifest. And that war, you sense it in our own nation. It's in Israel. It's in Europe. It's in South America. There's a global planetary thing that's happening as the heavens are in battle. There's a war going on. And then what we're told is going to happen in, it says, neither was their place found any more in heaven for the devil and his angels. So his place in his secret society, in his secret place in the second heaven is gone. And then in verse 9, it says, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. Okay, where was he deceiving the whole world from? From the second heaven, from that place that nobody could really figure anything out. It was so dark and deceptive. Even the elect of God will be deceived in these days, right? Or could be, is what the Bible says. But he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Where was he cast out into? The earth. That means that the devil, in this battle that is raging over the nations right now in the second heaven, in an elevated battle, is going to be finalized with Satan's fall, which Jesus saw, okay, when the ecclesia was moving out in divine power 2,000 years ago. And there's an ecclesia, a church, The word ekklesia is the Greek word for church, and it means called out ones. So these are the Jesus followers and the Jesus doers that are activated and actively doing, occupying until he comes, doing the work, exposing the darkness, calling for repentance, warning the nations, sharing the good news of the gospel with the sinners that want to get saved for eternal life. Hallelujah. So when the ekklesia moves in power, they came back in Luke chapter 10 and said, even the devils are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, do not rejoice that the devils are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. But at that moment, Jesus saw the satanic fall. Now, where did Satan fall? I saw Satan fall from heaven. Where did he fall from? Well, in Revelation 12, onto the earth. And this is what is going to commence or begin the greatest persecution, the global great tribulation. This is very simple to understand. And we are actually living in the very moment where the Revelation 12 sign was given to us. And I want to share another mystery here in just a moment. But it goes on to say, in verse 10, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. So at the moment Satan makes landfall in this battle, this celestial battle that's going on, I believe right now, that's why we're seeing so many manifestations on earth, like the typhoon and cyclone in Japan right now that is outrageous, and more hurricanes coming. You say it's the hurricane season, it's the fire season. Well, note the intensification going on around the world. Note the divided nation. Note what is happening in different places around the world, from Islam to governmental corruption. You go on down the list. It's all there. But the Bible says in Revelation 12 that Satan will be cast onto the earth, and woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because the devil's coming with great wrath. Where is he going to display his wrath? Well, his wrath is going to be fully released, unvented wrath of Satan. Everything he's got is coming during the great 3.5-year global tribulation. Verse 13 goes on to say, when the dragon saw that he was cast under the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. Some people say that's Israel. Okay? Well, we know that this did not happen 2,000 years ago. There are reasons for that. Some say, people say this is Israel that gave birth to the man child ministry. And others say it is the church, the ecclesia, the Jerusalem above. Well, it says to verse 14, to the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. So some people call this in Israel, in or through the valley after the earthquake will come, that the Israeli people will be fleeing into a wilderness place where God will actually have a sheep pen prepared for them. Others believe that this is the church made up of the Jew and the Gentile globally around the world, that there is a place that they, the true elect of God, the true church, will be sheltered for exactly 3.5 years. But here's what happens in verse 15. The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. The earth opened her mouth, swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So if there was a rapture, there would be no one for the devil to make war with. There'd be no remnant of the seed who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. Speaking to the Jew and the Gentile, the two becoming one new man in the earth. This is the church in the last days. The church has been ongoing for 2,000 years. And so we know that there will be the saints that are here. And the very next verse is chapter 13, verse 1, where we see the mechanism of war that Satan is going to raise against those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, and will commence that 3.5 year time when the Antichrist, which after the devil falls on this earth, he will literally take on a body and he will rule the nations of the earth, because again, he's coming with fury. He's not coming to be cautious. He's coming with fury. And ladies and gentlemen, let's get a little hint why that may be happening right now. The ultimate rebellion is taking place. Satanism is experiencing explosive growth in the United States. It's all over the world, but listen to this. As attendance declines at Christian churches all over America, many satanic groups are experiencing tremendous growth. For some, embracing Satanism is the ultimate form of rebellion. For others, it is about making an anti-Trump political statement. And yet others claim that they are attracted by the very real power that they discover in Satanism. Every week, bizarre rituals are conducted in basements, meeting halls, and public facilities all over the country. And most Americans have absolutely no idea what is going on. Of course, most mainstream news articles about Satanism attempt to portray them as ordinary people that have simply been misunderstood. Well, ultimately, that is what the Satanists are trying to do for Satan. They are trying to get all the rest of us to view Satan or Lucifer as a misunderstood being that only has humanity's best interest at heart. And since the values of Satanism line up more accurately with the values of modern society than Christian values do, Satanists are finding increasing success in bringing in new recruits. Today, there are satanic churches just about everywhere. For example, a satanic high priest named Adam Daniels started the Church of Ahriman in the heart of Oklahoma City. Adam Daniels, 35, is the dastur, or high priest, of the Church of Ahriman, which is based in Oklahoma City, USA. The Church of Ahriman has 15 members, worships Ahriman, another name for the original Persian devil figure, Angra Magna, the god of hell. Well, the church's followers meet in Daniel's home, where he has converted a storage room into the ritual chamber in which he performs ceremonies, including devil-worshipping weddings and satanic exorcisms. Daniel says that he was attracted to Satanism after a deadly encounter with an armed thief sent him on a quest for answers. While seeking a way to come to terms with ending another person's life, he began to see a therapist and turned to a variety of religions, all of whom suggested he should have turned the other cheek. Daniel said, "I tried to find solace, and I was told that I had committed the sin of wrath by the Christians and the Buddhists, even by my mom." Instead, he found comfort in the Satanic Bible by Anton LaVey, whose motto is, "Self-preservation is the highest law." Well, Daniels is married, and his wife is fully on board, but having a father that is a satanic high priest has been very rough on their daughter, Amber. "When I was six, because I was given the Baphomet, an ancient deity traditionally depicted as a horned goat, necklace," she said, "in first grade, and I wore it to school and was told by a teacher that I wasn't allowed to wear it, so I had to take it off and put it in my backpack. In sixth grade, my grandma got me to go to my local bookstore and was able to get my full name printed on the Holy Bible, which my parents threw away." But before you start feeling tempted to feel sorry for this family, you should keep hearing this. The truth is that Daniels is not a pleasant man. In fact, he openly admits that he purposely commits blasphemy and that his entire goal is to offend God. He said, and I quote, "I have ritualistically burned the Bible, the Quran, the Talmud, the Torah, Buddhist sutras, different Hindu sutras, you name it, I've burned it out of blasphemy. I am not responsible for God, and no God is responsible for me. Through my words and my deeds, I am offending God, and that is my whole goal, to make his people miserable, to bring about apostates, to bring about anguish." End of quote. At one time, nuts like Daniels would have been a very rare anomaly. changed. Today, there are satanic communities that gather from coast to coast, and the following is how the Los Angeles Times described one of these gatherings in the L.A. area. Here we go. In November, in the candlelit basement of a house just above the Silver Lake Reservoir, Alexandra James walked over to an altar where her husband, Zachary, waited near a bleached human skull, teeth locked in eternal rictus. From the altar, she lifted a sword and drew points across his chest while a circle of onlookers watched solemnly. An organist played eerie minor key chords, and Alexandra turned to face the group. "On this altar, we consecrate swords to direct the fire of our unholy will," she said. "A human skull, symbol of death, the great mother Lilith created us all and will destroy us all. Hail Satan! Hail Satan! Hail Satan!" the group chanted back. So how many people are we actually talking about nationwide? Well, there is not a single national organization, but all major satanic groups have claimed large increases in membership since the election of Donald Trump. In particular, the Satanic Temple reported gaining thousands of new members within the first 36 hours of Trump's victory. The Satanic Temple attracted thousands, they said, of new members in just the first 36 hours after the election of Donald Trump, according to co-founder Lucian Greaves. The four-year-old temple, which had a pre-Trump membership of around 50,000, has never before seen a spike in registration nearly this big. "It's crazy," Greaves said after a speech in front of some adoring fans at CU Boulder, Colorado Boulder. "The emails, registrations, donations, and social media posts are pouring in faster than the temple can respond. People have a desperate need for something to rally to right now." Right now, membership in the Satanic Temple is somewhere around 100,000, and it has become a hub for the anti-Trump resistance. Of course, most have joined various satanic groups for spiritual reasons. Today, there is a tremendous spiritual hunger in America, but Americans are also leaving traditional churches at a staggering pace. People are looking for authenticity, but they aren't finding it in the traditional places, and so many are seeking out new options. Unfortunately, an increasing number of Americans are deciding that Satanism is the answer, and that is a very, very troubling sign. Ladies and gentlemen, it most certainly is a troubling sign, and it's not the only troubling sign that's going on in our country and around the world. Imagine somebody in your neighborhood going into basements with a few friends, having rituals to put curses and send demons against Christian families and homes and children. This is very real. It's a growing reality. But you put this article right next to it. Pro-gay church. Listen to me. A pro-gay church plans to open a brewery and donate the profits to Planned Parenthood. Talk about bloody ritualistic sacrifices. The Greater Purpose Community Church in Santa Cruz, California, is making headlines not only for its unusual practice of drinking while holding services, but also for its plan to open a brewery and its promise to donate part of the profits to local charities that include Planned Parenthood. The pro-LGBT church, which also claims that Jesus was a Palestinian rabbi killed because of white supremacy, may seem almost too liberal to be possible, even for a postmodern progressive church. Unfortunately, this church is not internet satire. It is all too real. Pastor Christopher Van Hall didn't start Greater Purpose Community Church with beer on his mind. For 5 years, they held services in a traditional church building, but it was only recently that they sold the building and changed their venue to a local food lounge, ostensibly to save on cost. Pastor Van Hall noticed that the congregation tended to indulge during the service and soon became a staple. Imagine that. People are getting their drinks, their whiskey, their shots, their beers, and they're going to church and they're hearing the homosexual gospel being preached. Mamma mia. Well, when asked about drinking during the service, he explained, "We don't want to dupe anyone. We don't want to have this bar and say, okay, come on in and boom, you get a church service. We don't want that. They can have one or two. As a matter of fact, he joked, if they have two, my sermons always get better. Well, taking the idea of beer and worship and running with it, Pastor Van Hall and the church leadership now have plans to relocate to a brewery sometime in the summer of fall 2019. I thought to myself, he said, wouldn't it be great if a church could figure out a way to make a product where they split the profits with local community service organizations? We were like, hey, we love beer. We love making beer. Why not do a brewery? Well, the location will be an abandoned bookstore that also houses Planned Parenthood, which also happens to be one of the local community service organizations that the pastor said he would be proud to support with 30 to 60% of the brewery's profits. On the subject of Planned Parenthood, the pastor glossed over the realities of abortion as he gushed, Planned Parenthood, which we adore and support their efforts for giving health care to women. Well, currently a rainbow flag flies outside the food lounge where the church meets for sermons and Sunday jam sessions, a reflection of their support for the LGBT lifestyle. Affiliated with the Disciples of Christ denomination, the church prides itself on being inclusive of all races, all sexual orientations, and all political views, even faiths, though they do not still claim to follow Christ. So Van Hall asked in a recently published video interview, what would it look like to be a church that looked like the movement that Jesus started and not like the church that we know in America today? And the church's radical claims that Jesus would support homosexual or transgender lifestyles and that he was a Palestinian Jewish rabbi killed by white supremacists, the Roman Empire for the rest of us, place the group's belief on the far left of the spectrum. To round out the group's beliefs, they are also environmentalists, feminists, LGBT affirming, and fight for racial justice. As a radical social experiment, though, in a few years' time, we will see a struggling brewery that sometimes hosts a few pseudo-Christian radicals, or will we have a church so far away from Christianity that gimmicks like luring worshipers into the pews with beer is its only way to stay relevant? Either way, it will bear no resemblance to the church for which Christ gave his life to cleanse and to sanctify. Ladies and gentlemen, it gets a little bit more bizarre with each passing day, does it not? It certainly does. Revelation chapter 12. Listen, last year on September 23rd, 2017, that the Revelation 12 sign appeared in the skies. This year, 1 year later, September 23rd, will be the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles. 1 year later, you could turn your news channel on today. You could go look at the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, a Jesuit man who was brought to be the next one in the Supreme Court. And there, the hopes of the right, conservatives, Republicans, is that Brett Kavanaugh will take his place as another conservative that will put an end to abortion, that will put an end to a number of things. This would be a decapitation of the present government, federal government, Supreme Court, who has ruled as a head of power over this nation with a satanic influence. And so many are saying that the decapitation, or maybe they're thinking that the decapitation of those heads of power in the Supreme Court being replaced by Kavanaugh will change everything. And so the fight, the raising up, the anarchy, Trump is declaring anger, anger, anger. The left is angry, angry, angry. And so the coming clash is on the way. And I believe that we are going to see the rage of Satan blowing up the White House, blowing up the Washington, D.C., the Capitol. That's a small thing in comparison to what's about to be unleashed upon this nation. Remember, there's a flood of iniquity that is going to flow out of the mouth of this dragon. And that flood is intended to sweep away the church. And when you start seeing major churches with rainbow color flags for the homosexual agenda, growing Satanism. And then, of course, I talked with a Marine yesterday, a friend named Lewis, and Lewis and I were talking and we had a long conversation, and Lewis insisted, as a ex-Marine from Camp Pendleton in San Diego, California, he insisted that America is still a great nation. And the majority of the people do not want the things that are going on in our country, but the news media is swinging everything to the minority, making everybody believe it's a majority issue. He believes that we have the greatest power on the earth, that we have technological weapons that no man on earth, no nation on earth could ever even conceive. He believes there's no military power on the planet that could take down the USA. And in our conversation, I said to him, it may be true that there is no power on earth that could defeat the United States in a military confrontation, not even Russia and China at this point, but there is a God in heaven. When he is blasphemed and offended from the pulpit to the pew, so to speak, from the White House to Main Street, so to speak, when laws and legislation slaughter the blood and a silent majority allows it to happen for a generation, there is a God in heaven that can bring down empires, the greatest in the world. He's going to do it to Babylon. He's done it to Rome. He's done it to every ancient empire in the world. And so while Lewis, a wonderful man, is hoping for the best, we stand at the ready that at any moment in this country, a decapitating event will change the course of this nation. As he said, as Lewis said yesterday, if the United States were ever to collapse, the nations of the earth would not know what to do. They would fall into a heap of rubble. And I said, that's exactly what the book of Revelation says, because out of the ashes will rise the phoenix, a new economy, a new government, a new military, a new power, and it will be satanic. You know, it's not just the Satanist churches that are satanic. You go everywhere in this country and you find the Masons, you find the Masonic lodges, you find the Illuminati, you find the Freemasonry, you find the Luciferians, the satanic priesthood. Everywhere around the world, whether you're an agnostic, an atheist, if you're not serving God, you're serving the devil because your mind's not bold enough, strong enough to resist the powers of darkness. You're in deception and darkness. Christian people, beware of what is going on in your mind and in your heart. We must pay special attention to the times that we are living in. We are not going to shut up. We're not going to give up. We're not going to lay down. We're going to go forward as an end time army. We're going to occupy. We're going to work while there's light. We're going to declare to the nations of the earth everything we see coming on this earth. We live in an unprecedented time. It is an amazing moment. You cannot deny that, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot deny Israel became a nation after 1900 years of being scattered. You cannot deny the technological advancements that the Bible says would happen in the last days before the second coming of Jesus Christ. You cannot deny Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21 about the signs of the times, the seasons that we're living in, the unfolding of Bible prophecy. You cannot deny it. It's rising. Islam is rising. Nations are rising. War is rising. The mantra of divisiveness is rising. America is divided, and a house divided cannot stand. So, ladies and gentlemen, what does it all mean that we just go down the road, la-di-da? What is your point? What is your calling? What is your purpose as a Christian? What are you and I supposed to be doing right now with the information we're receiving? What do we do with it? I dare say we should not sit back and get the popcorn and observe. No. At the very least, get out of your house, go to the store, and find someone that needs Jesus. Knock on the doors in your neighborhood. Hand out tracts. Say, hey, we're having a Bible study in our home. You want to come? Or, hey, we're having a prayer meeting, and if you need prayer, we're going to pray in the name of Jesus. But if there's anything going on in your life where you just need prayer, come on over. We're going to have a prayer meeting in our home. Serve some coffee, some fruit, or whatever you like to do, and start doing something in your neighborhood, because everybody's going to say, yeah, man, we need to pray. And there's probably the reality that most people haven't prayed. They're not praying. So at the very least, open your home, make it a gathering place for God's people or people that are hurting. Or go out and meet somebody under the bridge, bring them a McDonald's hamburger, and sit down and share the love of Jesus Christ with them. Do something. What we're doing and planning on doing right now, we have an organization called United Christian Charities. United Christian Charities, a couple of years ago, served over 60,000 meals right here in Northwest Arkansas. We had a store that a thrift store, where we had all kinds of stuff donated, and then we sold the donated products, and then we took the money of those donations from the thrift store. We bought food so that we could give food to the hungry. 60,000 families were fed in 2 years through United Christian Charities, a 501c3 nonprofit public benefit corporation with a tax-exempt status from the IRS. So all the T's were crossed, the I's were dotted. We did it. And then for the last couple of years, it was like a seed. It was buried, and we're about to see it burst again. We have found interest among a few people that want to show the wisdom of God. Saints of God, here's the wisdom. We know, spiritually, we know what's coming on this earth, that we need to prepare. God told us to do it like in the days of Noah. I refuse to disobey God in spite of the mockery and all the stuff that comes against it, even from Christians saying these foolish Christians storing up their food, your guns, that's not going to help you. They are talking out of their windy place. I'm going to leave it right there. I'm not interested. Sorry, I shouldn't have gone there. They're talking out of some mindset that is defiant to God's will for God's people to prepare. So we're preparing, and one of the things we want to do while we're here is occupy till he comes. We want to raise up United Christian Charities. We want to get a warehouse. We want to stock it with food. We want Walmart and Tyson and others to donate to it, to support it. We're going to need fundraisers. We're going to need grant writers. We're going to go out there. We're going to talk to our congresspeople. We're going to talk to people in the local area that want to help us do something. We're going to move the location into areas where the real needs are, and we're going to work this work, and then it's going to turn into disaster relief. And at some point, we're going to be going to these massive storms and fires and hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes, and we're going to be showing up with Bibles and trucks filled with food and supply and blankets, and we're going to have teams following the trucks and vans. They're going to show up. We're going to set up tables. We're going to comfort people, tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. We're going to be there to pray for them and support them in their time of trouble. I see this happening. And Bible says, while there's light, you must work, because the nighttime will come when no man will be able to work. And I got news for you. When the nighttime comes, then we'll stop. But that nighttime has not come. Right now, we can work. And I believe the church is the head of United Christian Charities. But United Christian Charities is an umbrella to make sure that the body of Christ is taken care of. It is a good works program that the church is steering this vessel. And I believe that if we gather together and come under the umbrella of United Christian Charities, that it is a God-ordained vision to feed the hungry, to take care of the battered and abused women, to have disaster relief, to take care of the needs of a hurting people, so that ultimately we could share our faith with them. And ladies and gentlemen, when the nighttime comes, our warehouses can no longer be worked out. We can't do anything. Now we have resources and provision to take care. When the gates are shut, when the bars come down, when the lights go out, and there is a decapitation of the government of the United States and anarchy is filling the streets, God will have in wisdom prepared his people to enter into the ark and shut the door and be able to take care of his people for 3.5 years. I believe it with all my heart. You know what? Call me what you will. I believe we're there. I believe we have seen the beginning of sorrows for the last 17 years. I believe the beginning of sorrows in the book of Revelation began on 9/11/2001. I believe the four horses, the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, the green horse, are the colors of Islam. I believe that they went forth riding. They're still riding through the earth, whether it was through Al-Qaeda, whether it was through Hezbollah, Hamas, ISIS, whether it was the famines and the economic collapses we've seen around the world, the Revolutionary Guard changes in the Middle East in 2010 and 11. I believe that the beginning of sorrows has begun. Earthquakes in different places, F5 tornadoes, massive hurricanes, fires unparalleled. I believe we're in it. I believe we're seeing a rapid acceleration of intensified events that are lining up with Bible prophecy and the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the time comes when Jesus said in Matthew 24:9, then shall they persecute you and kill you and afflict you. Then, because the love of many will grow cold, people will begin to sin will abound, and they'll betray one another and hate one another. I believe that that is connected to Revelation 13. I believe the time of the tribulation is at the door. I believe it. I do believe it. And I'm going to preach it. And even though when I feel a little, man, what was that all? I believe it because I'm looking at it. I'm seeing it. And I know a lot of people want to preach peace and safety. It's going to be all right, like my friend Lewis. And I hope Lewis is right and I'm wrong. Why? I don't really believe that. I don't really hope he's right, that we could continue slaughtering babies in our country. We could continue as a democracy. You think our democracy is pleasing to God? You know, and there's the boast. A lot of people say, well, in a free democracy, you give everybody the right. That's what makes us great. No, that doesn't make us great. What we have promoted into society does not make us great. We are not great. In this moment, we are not great. We have condescended into the sewer, into the swamp of those gross, dirtiest, foul, filthy, unclean things going on. People in their basements having rituals, killing cats. Come on! Or slaughtering babies by the tune of 80 million. That's nuts. And people can't handle it. So we have all kinds of things going on. But it looks normal. Honest to God, I'll get off the radio. I'll take my dog for a walk. And everything will seem normal and look normal. But that's not what we see in the spirit. Watchmen don't look with the natural eye. They look in the spirit. And when you see things from God's holy perspective through the lens of scripture, bada bing, bada boom. That's all I have to say. Anybody want to join me in today's conversation? The number to call is 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. Press 1 on the dial pad. We'll bring you right in. We've got a call coming in, 479-855. Pastor Ken Wagner, good morning, sir. How are you today?
Good morning, Pastor. I'm doing good until you got started on all those negative things. No, not really. I mean, it's just, it's a real fact, and I kind of wanted to add.
I don't see them as negative at all, Pastor Ken. I do not see it as negative, and I'm sorry you do, but I believe that this is Bible prophecy, an exciting time to be alive. I believe it's all very positive because it means the end result, the second coming of Jesus Christ.
You misunderstood. I don't mean in a really negative way. It's just simply that these are things that are going to happen, and I know that people are not ready, and in that sense, I'm perturbed about
it. Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Okay. Please don't take me wrong on that. But I wanted to maybe even substantiate some of the things that you're saying, that people say, oh, yeah, these Satanists, who, yeah, they can't really do anything. I don't even know if they're around. But you know I was a police officer. And while I was doing that, I found out a number of things. For instance, on the New York City Police Department, there was a special squad, and all they handled was occult and satanic ritual killings and murders. And they had their hands full every day. That was continually going on. And I was saying, wow, that's unbelievable. And then when I moved to Arizona into a beautiful city called Scottsdale, I was shocked to find out they had some of those ritual killings going on there. There was a place out in the desert where the Satanists were going, and there were some complaints that came in, and the police went out there, and there was all kinds of satanic circles, diagrams and everything of that nature in there. The walls were painted red. The police tore the building down, and they found human bones that were sacrificed in rituals even there. And then I heard of another one, and I believe the individual's name was Johnny Todd. I believe it was. I could be totally wrong on that. But he was a Satanist to be a Druid high priest in the occult. And he made a statement that was unbelievable, even in the 80s, that there were over 100,000 covens in the United States alone.
Wow.
On there. And he had authority over 13 different states with the covens leading him and directing them in all their activities and rituals. This is back in the 80s, all these things that I'm talking about. I can't even imagine where it is now. And it just continues to grow and will continue growing.
And Pastor Ken, this is the idea right now is this reality does exist. It's a battle between light and darkness, and people are going to have to take their side. And all those people that are just comfortable right in the middle, you know, I just want to live my best life now. I want to be at peace. I want to rest. No, there's a growing army. There's a battle. There's an end time battle. And as you say, so often, what is the point of having an end-time army raised up for God to rapture them out of the earth? And of course, what is the point of having an end-time army if the army is not going to engage in this battle, rise up, dress up, and get the warriors of this end-time army out there, contend for the souls of men? That's what the battle is all about. And for truth, that's what it's all about. And you and I, having a voice with truth, need to speak that forth, that Jesus Christ is the King of the universe. Your thoughts?
Oh, you're right on, Pastor. And that's why I call in with this, because most people think, well, that can't exist in my community. Well, it sure can, and it probably is, and you just don't know it yet. But when it comes time for them to rise up, you're going to hear it, you're going to see it, and you could end up being a victim yourself. So we just can't sit back on our laurels and say, well, let somebody else take care of it. No, we have to. We have to be the ones that begin to go ahead and rise up against these things that are coming down. Because if we let it go, it's only going to get worse and worse and worse. They're going to get a strong foothold, and we won't be able to stop them later on in the normal ways that we know of. Because laws will be changed. We'll have people going to get into government in areas of that nature where they'll be able to make rules and laws to allow these things to happen. And that is starting to happen already. So we need to begin to go ahead and get on our knees and pray, get good men in government, get good men in police departments, Christians that will be able to uphold the laws and won't turn their backs on the things that they see happening, and let's bring back godly power to this country again.
Amen. And not only on our knees praying for the government in that sense, but for the church to be the head of power over this nation. The government has not been a good head to the nation. The true meaning of the ecclesia is that it would be the head and not the tail. And Pastor Ken, I like what's in your spirit, because what I'm hearing in you is your call to the people, rise up, rise up. There's an urgency, and I'm glad to hear that urgency. And you and I, we do radio every Sunday over at Kerm Radio. You and Brother Michael and I recently, we sit down, and for an hour and 15 minutes, we speak out, we teach, we say all kinds of things. And I'm sensing an urgency rising, and we have come to a conclusion that it's time to raise up United Christian Charities. Speak from your heart what you see about United Christian Charities right now.
Oh, it's a great organization, Pastor, and I didn't put a lot of time in, but the times that I did go down, I love to see the faces of the people light up, because they said, we didn't know where we were going to get our next meal. And oftentimes we would offer them saying, you know, hey, we'd like to help you any way we can, and even spiritually. And a lot of we offered prayer for the people, and many, many people availed themselves of the prayers. And they came out, changed people with different attitudes. It's a great organization. And like I said, we need to get organized with it. We need to establish it. We need to go ahead and definitive lines and then begin to grow once we have it established accordingly. And I really believe the Lord's hands will be on it, because he tells us to go forth and help others. And that's exactly what we're trying to do. And I really believe that something that the Lord is going to bless and is going to take off and become a big organization, one that we can handle, one that we can maintain. And I believe the help will be coming in from all over to be able to go ahead and perform the things that we need to do.
Amen. Amen. Keep prophesying that. Hold tight with me right now. We have another call coming in. Let's take this call coming from 479-426. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Hello, you're on the air. 479-426, we cannot hear you, so we're going to have to call back. We're going to let you go. Are you there? All right, we're going to let that call. We're just going to put it on a hold right now. And, well, actually, we're going to have to just lose that call for the moment. So, Pastor Ken, yes, we have so much time, and nobody knows what that time is, whether it's a day, whether it's 3 years, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, 3 months. Everything is right now, though. You feel it in the spiritual atmosphere. Everything is right now. And so there's not a whole bunch of time to delay. And we have a tendency to do that sometimes. Even in my book that I'm writing, I'm into chapter 9, but it's, you know, you get these week, a whole week of delays where things interrupt and you can't get it done. We have a Feast of Tabernacles coming up on September 23rd. I'm writing about my experience on the Teton Mountains, by the way. That's what the book is about and what God taught me up there and my testimony about his saving grace. So we're 20 days away from the Feast of Tabernacles. We're expecting people to come and gather in Northwest Arkansas from all over the world. And we're looking forward to Daniel Seckham coming from Australia. Ruth is coming from Australia. We've got friends coming in from across the country. We want to just host it. Whatever happens, happens. We want God to be there. We're coming up to meet the Lord. Let's see if we can get this call this time. Coming in from 479. Good morning. You're on the air. Can you hear us?
Yes, good morning. I'm sorry. I had to step away briefly. I just wanted to make mention that, you know, my husband and I were one of the many families that were fed through United Christian Charities. And, you know, what a glorious opportunity to give back and to say thank you. And to be a part of this is just to encourage those that, you know, for a time and a season, if you're being fed through, whether it's through UCC or another ministry, put your hands back and give back to the shepherds and the ministry that is feeding you in a rightful way. And, you know, my husband and I have been a part of New Wine Ministry for many years, and it is just wonderful to be able to be given in that way, and that's not to be ignored and to let that fall to the wayside. Pour in whatever measure you can give back to say thank you. And there are genuine ministries out there like New Wine Ministry that are sowing into lives, you know, sowing into feeding not only spiritually, both my husband and I and many within New Wine Ministry have been sown into deliverance, prayer, physical food, and so much more. And so I just, this ministry is so worthy to, on many levels, to sow into, and there are others out there that are doing a good work and it unto the Lord. But it's not to be ignored to, and I'm speaking to those, if you're being fed, sow back into the ministry that you've been fed, you know, whether it be spiritually or physically. And I just want to let those out there know that, you know, my husband and I are so richly blessed in so many ways for what has been sown into our lives personally and spiritually. And I just, thank you, pastors, and just thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, and I appreciate the call. But remember, every ministry, all we are is an extension of Jesus Christ. We do our reasonable service. And the call to get up, rise up, and do is just reasonable service for the body of Christ. I'm telling you, there's an urgent moment right now, and it is time for the church to be the church. It's time for the ecclesia to be the ecclesia. We are Jesus walking in an organic body with hands and feet, and we are here like Jesus 2,000 years ago to touch people's lives. That's why we are here. We are not organized religious systems. We are the ecclesia. We are the body of Christ. You and I have the power of God within us and the ability, the wisdom. God will direct us and show us what we need to do. Pastor Ken, any final thoughts in your heart before we move on here today?
Yeah, we need people to be able to volunteer to help out once we get this organized, and we can start broadcasting it possibly on the radio over here in the morning, even on our Sunday broadcast. But the first things first, we need to get ourselves organized so we can begin to go ahead and get this rolling. You know, there's a lot of organizations, even here in the Valley where we are. There are a lot of people of a lot of organizations that just throw away the food because it's getting a little too old and it doesn't look as nice, and they toss it away. But there's nothing a matter with the food. It's just simply a matter of people going out and collecting it and to be able to give it out to other people. And that's what we want to try and do, is to be able to help our brothers and sisters who are a little down and out and need a little assistance, and be able to go ahead and have full tummies so that they can go ahead and go on and do the work, the things that they need to go ahead and do. And that's a call that I think a lot of people want to be a part of, and I think we need to broadcast that more and more.
Well, amen to that. And so let's kind of just stop for a minute and pause. We're talking about United Christian Charities. We're talking in the first part of the program what's going on. As I'm looking to the right at the television screen on Fox News, the resistance from the left to stop the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh was rejected. So they're moving forward now. And the opening statements were given by Senator Grassley, and they're moving forward right now. And the request for delay has been rejected. So keep praying. This is a really, really good thing that is happening right now. So what I need to do is we need to run on with our broadcast, and we need to get ourselves ready. Patricia Joy Xavier is up next, and what a time we're in. What a time. Listen, let me just leave you with this thought. Yes or no? Yes, I'm going to rise up. Yes, I'm going to do my part. Yes, I'm going to be the hands, the feet, the ministry of Jesus in the earth. Yes. Or no. Yes, we should prepare. Or no. I should get ready, spirit, soul, and body, for the coming of the Lord. Yes or no. If I were to die today, am I saved? Am I really saved? Is there any unforgiveness in anybody's heart? Yes or no? Are you saved? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? It's just a few more days, and this is all going to come to an end. Our lives, however many years are attached to our names, eventually is going to give way to an eternal reality. Doing good works, every church in the book of Revelation was doing good works, but they weren't enough. Good works don't save anybody. Relationship and intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ is our salvation. He brings us back to the Father. He writes our name in heaven. He seals us with the eternal Holy Spirit. And out from that goes good works. What are you going to show up before the throne with? What are you going to show up before God with? What are you going to say? Here's my offering. Thank you for what you did for me, Jesus. This is what we have to ask ourselves. We have a lot of work. It can be done. Everybody has a part. We'll talk more about it as we go. It is Tuesday. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. I'm going to leave you with a beautiful song from Keith Green. Up next, Patricia Joy Xavier. God bless y'all.
All the things that you have shown me, I'd be a fool to let them slip away. Been doing things I know I shouldn't do, but I don't want to go away from you. From you. After all, I've only grieved your spirit, and then I don't know why you stay with me. But every time I fall, your love comes through, and I don't want to fall away from you. From you. Good times are getting old.
Having a little delay about where Patricia is right now. She has not stepped into the office, into the studio. So just a few more songs from Keith Green, a little update what's going on right now. Senator Dianne Feinstein is questioning Brett Kavanaugh. These are the questions going up. And she's, of course, talking about the need that this new Supreme Court justice would have to legalize and keep legal the abortion issue. That's Senator Dianne Feinstein. Keep on praying. Patricia Joy will be right here. You're listening to The Watchman on the Omega Radio Network. And Patricia Joy will be right up. Got to pray she didn't get raptured out of here. We'll be right back.
Walk by faith, not by sight, and then you come shining down. Putting your arms around, finding myself so suddenly drawn, like a moth to a flame, whenever I hear your name.
It's a day like no other. And I say this each and every day because it is just climbing up that ladder of impossibilities to be possible. And we have to know this. And we have to know this for one reason, and only one reason. The impossible is ready to happen for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, for his miraculous, because of the times we're in, because of the power and the strength of demonic presence. And as you've been hearing, it's growing more and more. But we need to understand spiritual warfare and the engagement of it more so than ever before, because we are in war. And there are things that we need to understand. We need to understand scripture, for one. And the Bible says about spiritual warfare, and he said to them, Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. Now, I don't see anything in this scripture that has to do with just the disciples or apostles. What I see in this scripture is those who believe in my name. Do you believe in his name? Are you one who believes in my name, his name? They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, meaning the enemy. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Mark 16:15-18. One of the first scriptures I found when I was searching myself to know whether or not we, as in this day and age as Christians, could have what Jesus said was available to us and that he did. And he said, what I do, you shall do also even greater. But I was told and heard by various error in churches that there is not that ability today. It is not for the body of Christ today. It was for then, but not now. Well, have we changed from being believers? No, we are still believers. I hope, at any rate. And let me ask this question too. If it is not for today to cast out devils, because of the Holy Spirit that came upon us, if that is the truth, then I ask, why would it be? Believers shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall be healed. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, what I do, you shall do also, even greater things, because I go to the Father and I send the Holy Spirit. There's another scripture that we need to know. And then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit of Galilee, in the power of the Holy Spirit to Galilee. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Are we supposed to end preaching the gospel to the poor? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Are we supposed to end healing the brokenhearted? To preach deliverance to the captives. Are we supposed to end preaching deliverance to those that have been captive? And recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. How are you going to set at liberty those who are oppressed? By spiritual warfare. By spiritual warfare. And today there is a greater move of oppression upon the body of Christ, the church, as never before, and definitely the world is getting so much of it now. It's being released to such a degree that multitudes of people are committing suicide. To set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the acceptable year of the Lord, people of God. And that's mentioned in Luke 4:14-18. Another scripture. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Luke 10:19. Many Christians have been told that it is a very dangerous thing to cast out devils and to heal the sick. But again, was this just given to the disciples, or was it given to believers also? And I showed you the scripture in Mark 16 that it's been given to believers also. To do what? I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over the demonic presence of the evil one. That's what serpents and scorpions are representing in that scripture. And over all the power of the enemy, not some of it. Some say, well, you could only go so far. You could only never come against those that are in the second heaven realm. That's another teaching in itself. But it says, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do not be afraid. It is a promise of God that if you do the work that he has called us to do in spiritual warfare, which is 25% of the work that he did when he was walking the face of the earth and said, what I do, you shall do also. I want you to look at Luke 10:19. Maybe you need to really get that into your spirit. Nothing shall by any means hurt you, because so many are afraid to deal with spiritual warfare in the Christian body. And then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons. Oh, wait a minute. Even the ruling spirits that rule over nations, families, territories, gave them power and authority over all demons, regardless of where they are, and to cure diseases. Do we even believe that, really? We are going to see more and more sickness upon this earth. When we go to heal people, lay hands on them, and pray over them, we have to know that these scriptures are real. They are true. And then it says, he sent them to preach the kingdom of God, to heal the sick and to heal the sick. That's in Luke 9:1. Look it up, read it, let it get into your spirit, man. This is an important time to really understand spiritual warfare. Now, he did call his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons, but he also gives us authority. And how do I know that? Again, Mark 16 says the believers shall do these things also. When we receive the Holy Spirit of God, he innovated, he downloaded us, he gave us the power to cast out devils. By his authority, we do it in his name. There is no other name. And here is another scripture. And he called the 12 to him and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. That's in Mark 6:7-13. Well, he said the believers shall also do this in Mark 16:18. And when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Well, he's given it to us too through the Holy Spirit. And that's in Matthew 10:1. And then another scripture that says, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Matthew 10:6-8. Are we not to go to the lost sheep also? Not to the house of Israel now. Oh, yes, even now. But to all nations. Where has that ended? And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And that's in John 3:8. And you will notice every time Jesus gave his apostles the power and command to go out and walk with his anointing, he always told them to cast out devils as one of his specific commands. Excuse me, there was no exceptions. So if Jesus was constantly casting out demons, always telling the apostles to cast out demons, and the apostles too were always casting out demons, then it should only be logical that the church should continue to still cast out demons when needed. We are his disciples also, and the word disciples means disciplined one. It has been estimated, as I said earlier, that many Bible scholars say that approximately 25% of the miracles Jesus had performed were him casting demons out of people. Satan and his demons are not confined to the bottomless pit at this time anyway. They're not confined yet. So what are we to say about it? What are we to say about it? The event will not happen about the bottomless pit until Jesus returns back to us in his second coming. Until that event happens, Satan and his demons are still free to roam in the air, seeking who they are going to try and devour next. And the air includes the airwaves of technology, the airwaves of phones, cell phones, the airwaves of the computers, and how it all operates. Yes, and as Christians, we always have to remember that the devil and his demons are already defeated foes. We have to remember that, or we are not going to have the innate desire by the Holy Spirit within us to do anything for fear. Jesus has already defeated Satan at the cross when he was crucified. So what is now left for us to do? Christians have to realize that the victory is already theirs. It belongs to us. The victory belongs to us. We have the victory. How much? How long must you hear these words before you begin to see that it is a reality and a truth? And we have to learn how to engage. We have to learn how to defeat the devil and his demons. That's why I wrote the book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. All you have to do is go to Amazon, check it out, and see, and you will learn that it's there, because demons can come and fight against your life now. But the victory is ours. I keep telling you about that in the book. Please, if you have not understood how to fight warfare, I ask you to go to Amazon, look at Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, and you can purchase it from Amazon. Or you can send a $20 offering to this program at 100 Box 100 in Decatur, Arkansas, 72722. And you will see that the blessing in return will be a book that I have written that I would love to give to you. I want us to be able to understand these things together. I want us to move together in the spirit. Please, please consider what I just said. These are times we have to know. We have to understand what we are doing. Yes, P.O. Box 100, Decatur, Arkansas, 72722. We are fighting the enemy on the airwaves, on cells, on the computers, on technology. We have to understand our purpose and reason that the Lord continue to work within our lives to a time in which we're in a time in which we're in. We have to learn how to engage and defeat the devil and his demons when they do try to move in on us. and our situations. And sometimes this means a real live deliverance. And most times it means a real live deliverance, because demons can attach themselves to people when they do move in for an attack. So once they do, the only way to be able to drive them out is by the power of God. So there are specific areas in which demons will try to come against people, especially Christians. And there is one more big debate going on right now in the body of Christ about how far demons can go with the Christians. Well, the debate is whether or not a demon can actually enter in on the inside of a Christian. That's the big debate. Well, Paul said that Satan has come, and what was he doing? He was coming to buffet him in the flesh, and the flesh is your flesh. It's inside of you. It's you. It's who you are. Many people believe that once you are saved and you become born again, that demons cannot enter in on the inside of you. And this is a big debate in the church. But the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit will literally come in and enter in on the inside of the human spirit at the moment of your conversion with Jesus. So as a result of our bodies now becoming the temple of the Holy Spirit, they believe there is no way that a demon or a group of demons can enter in on the inside of your body. I understand their reasoning, but it's only reasoning. So let's look at first glance about this, because it does appear to be a very logical argument, and I agree with that. However, what they are missing is the fact that the Bible tells us that we have three distinct separate parts of our being, and that is the body, the soul, and the spirit. The Holy Spirit is living and dwelling in your human spirit, not on the outside, but he is not living up in your soul or body area. He is in your spirit, but there is a soul and a body area that you have, flesh. And if a Christian ends up committing a severe door-opening sin and transgression against the Lord, giving the demons full legal right to be able to directly attack them, then what the demons will try and do, if they can get away with it, is to try and enter into that person's body and soul. When it's in the body, it becomes a physical ailment. When it's in the soul, it becomes the depression, oppression, vexation, bondage. And they won't be able to enter into the Christian spirit because the Holy Spirit is already living in there. But the Holy Spirit has to take hold of the whole body, the soul realm. But they will be able to enter into the body and the soul of the person if the transgression has been deemed to be severe enough by the Lord in his will. Talk to any deliverance minister and you'll hear this. This is the truth of the matter. If they are deliverance ministers, if they're just ministers and never had been involved in deliverance, then it's a whole different story. And one of the things Christians can do to be totally safeguarded ever having a demon try to enter in on the inside of them is to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It'll begin to do a work within us. We have a wonderful, wonderful understanding regarding this, because this is what makes it plausible. So what happens when the second experience comes, when the Holy Spirit is released into your spirit, and it begins then to enter into your soul realm and cleanse your soul of all that was already mentioned, the vexations, the sin issues, the oppressions, the depressions, the vital things of generational bloodline curses, all that has been in you when you came to the Lord. And once the Holy Spirit is residing in both your spirit and over empowered the soul area and cleansed the soul area, then the demons will not be able to enter into your soul. It'll be like fire around your being. When Satan comes, that's what they're going to see, is fire around your being. What is that fire? It's the Holy Spirit radiating through your soul realm and your spirit. You become a whole person, spirit, mind, and body. Your body becomes well and healed, and your body becomes restored. And many, ultimate, almost everybody has some affliction in their bodies in these days, and we need to get them totally and completely restored and healed. But the demons will not be able to enter into your soul when the Holy Spirit is at the helm. Believe me, you have to receive this gift. When I am through with deliverance, I also, and I can see the light in the person's eyes when they have received deliverance. They are lighter. They are smiling. They're just a happier being. And immediately I say, did you ever receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Most likely, most times they say no. But you could turn away from the Holy Spirit too. Believe me, you can. So after a Christian gets delivered from demons, a deliverance minister will try and get the person to receive that baptism of the Holy Spirit to help safeguard and prevent the demons from ever being able to get back into the inside of that person ever again. However, that doesn't mean you can't grieve the Holy Spirit, and even to the point where the Holy Spirit leaves. And there are scriptures that will tell you that too, and we can go into that at another time. Now, again, there's always a debate. It's been going on for a long time in the body of Christ, and it will obviously never be resolved anytime in the near future unless we raise up as the army of God and begin to explain, prevent the evil ones from taking over many, many people that we love and want to see set free, including ourselves. And the only thing that I can personally tell you is that I have come across a lot of Christians who have had demons dwelling literally on the inside of them, and they all had to have the demons cast out of them by way of an actual deliverance. And if you're having difficulties and trouble in your life and you have done everything you know to do, you have said, you know, Lord, what can I do? I read the Bible. I pray. I seek counsel. I still feel that I'm without relief. I still feel like I'm in bondage. What's wrong? And if you feel that you fight a spiritual battle and there's no success, something may have invaded you, putting you into a state of confusion. And it is going to be beyond psychology. You're going into spiritual warfare with that one. And I can tell you personally that many wonderful, incredible are still having a lot of trouble in their life with demonic presence. They know it. They sense it. They can't seem to overcome certain areas of their life, and it grieves them. And in that, God wants a hundredfold ministry, not 30-fold, not 60-fold, a hundredfold ministry, and the cleansing of every evil that we have given right to is given to us to be able to cast them out. We have it by the authority that we have been granted. We can draw out demons. We can cast them out. We have legal right to do it if we believe. Folks, it's all in believing. Either you believe his word or not. I know that there are many contradictions, but we have to find out for ourselves what the truth is. And on Omega Radio Station, that is exactly what we are doing. We're going across all denominations, and we're looking to the absolute truth of the kingdom of God. remember that the kingdom of God is within. Will you remember that? God bless you. You're loved. Till tomorrow. No, till Thursday.